He followed me blithely. Living in the canopy must have given everyone an inhuman head for heights. There were four seats in the rear compartment, and a windowed partition between us and the driver. Before the window was closed, I saw that the driver was the high-cheek-boned, grey-eyed man who had been with Sibylline earlier. "Where are you taking me?" I said. "To eat? Where else?" Sibylline placed a hand on my forearm trustingly. "The best place in the city, Tanner. Certainly the place with the best view." A night-time flight across Chasm City. With only the lights to trace the geometry of the city, it was almost possible to pretend that the plague hadn't happened. The shapes of the buildings were lost in the darkness, except where the upper branches were picked out by tentacles and star streams of glowing windows, or the neon scribbles of advertisements, whose meaning I couldn't fathom, spelt in the cryptic ideograms of Canadian. Now and then we would pass one of the older buildings that hadn't been affected by the plague, standing stiff and regular amongst the changed ones. More often than not, those buildings were still damaged, even if they hadn't been caused to physically mutate. Other adjacent structures had thrust limbs through their neighbors, or undermined their foundations. Some had wrapped themselves around other buildings like strangler vines. There had been fires, explosions, and riots during the days of the plague, and very little had emerged from those times completely unscathed. "You see that one?" Sibylline said, drawing my attention to a pyramid shape which was more or less intact. It was a very low structure, almost lost in the mulch, but it was picked out by searchlights arcing down from above. "That's the monument to the 80. I assume you know the story?"
"Not in any detail."
"It was a long time ago. This man tried to scan people into computers, but the technology wasn't mature. They were killed by the scanning process, which was bad enough. But then the simulation started to go wrong. There were 80 of them, including the man himself. When it was all over, when most of them had failed, their families had that monument built. But it's seen better days now."
"Like the Hell City," Waverley said.
We continued across town. Traveling by cable car took a little getting used to, as my stomach was discovering. When the car was passing through a place where there were many threads, the ride was almost as smooth and level as a volantor. But as soon as the thread started to thin out, as the car traversed the parts of the canopy where there were no major branches, for instance, the trajectory became a lot less crow-like and a lot more gibbon-like, wide stomach-churning arcs punctuated by jolts of upward thrust. It should have felt very natural, given that the human brain was supposed to have evolved for exactly this kind of arboreal living. But that was a few too many million years ago for me. Eventually the cable car's sickening arcs took us down towards ground level. I remembered Quiddenbach telling me the locals referred to the city's great merge dome as the mosquito net, and here it reached down until it touched the ground near the chasm's rim. In this inner perimeter region, the vertical stratification of the city was less pronounced. There was an intermingling of canopy and mulch, an indeterminate zone where the mulch reached up to brush the underneath of the dome, and places where the canopy forced itself underground, into armored plazas where the wealthy could walk unmolested. It was into one of those enclaves that Sibylline's driver took us, dropping the cable car's undercarriage and steering the craft onto a landing deck where other cars were parked. The edge of the dome was a sloping, stained brown wall, leaning over us like a breaking wave. Through the parts which were still more or less transparent, the huge wide maw of the chasm was visible.